This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's Packer and no Durham. We're working on Durham. So you're going to get Packer for a while, all right? But we got Packer and Durham. It's show 285 or 284, something like that. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've also got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. All right, we have a busy show today. We will get Wes on here at some point in time as we work out all those bugs. But nevertheless, this is an important day on the show because we have huge awards to give out. We've got all kinds of stuff. Coming up at 9 a.m., the All-ACC team is going to be announced. And all I'm going to tell you is at 9 a.m. when we unveil all this stuff to you, you're going to sit there and say, how in the world did so-and-so not get on the list? But we've also got other awards to give out. The Jacobs Blocking Trophy Award today. We're going to give you the Jim Tatum Award and the Brian Piccolo Award. You're going to get all of that today on the show, in addition to some hoops with Seth Greenberg. But that's coming up in hour number two. We lead off the show, though, talking about the college football playoff. And we've got a situation where what if, right? The biggest word in sports is if. What if we get into these playoff games and a team tests positive and can't go? Well, Bill Hancock of the College Football Playoff Committee addressed that yesterday. He told Heather Dinich that the College Football Playoff is willing to postpone the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, the two semifinals, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, and the College Football Playoff National Championship game if one or both teams can't participate because of COVID. That is worthy of noting because as we talked about this a month ago, what if you get into a situation that we can get to the end of the season and the playoffs can't continue or major bowls can't continue? What is the playoff committee going to do? Well, you got your answer. And to be honest with you, what is the alternative? I mean, if a team's not eligible to go, what are you going to do? Well, now you got the answer. We're going to kind of put this thing on hold and hopefully get everybody in one piece and good to go. Now, the one thing I will tell you, after doing a ton of shows, obviously, on SiriusXM on Friday afternoons, every Friday during the football season, we would literally get to the late afternoon and go, man, here's all the list of games in the top 25. Here's some other games of note. Knock on wood, we get to a Saturday and everything's good to go. As we sit here on December the 22nd, and we get excited about the fact that there are two ACC teams in the college football playoff with Notre Dame and Clemson. We get excited about the potential, what we could see on January the 1st with Notre Dame, Bama, and Clemson, Ohio State. Knock on wood that we can get those games in. But at least we now understand that, hey, if there is an outbreak, obviously Ohio State's been battling it for the last couple of weeks. Every school's kind of gone through this. If it turns out that that's what we get, then we're going to put this thing on hold until everybody's good to go. You got a team like North Carolina going to be in the Orange Bowl for the first time ever, first time in a major bowl in 70 years. If it turns out we have an outbreak at A&M or something goes haywire in Chapel Hill, we'll just put this thing on hold. So at least we know what that's going to look like now moving forward. To be honest with you, I didn't know if there was another alternative. Obviously, you don't want these games canceled. We've come this far. You want to have the best games played. And if that's going to be the case, at least we now know what the College Football Playoff Committee is thinking about moving forward. So we will address that when necessary. Obviously, we know the Big Ten has made some changes with their COVID protocol, which I think should help Ohio State at least get some more warm bodies as they get ready to prepare for their Sugar Bowl trip against the Tigers. But as far as everybody else goes, hey, let's just hope we can be safe and get to all these bowl games. It's been miraculous that we've played as many games so far this college football season. But at least we got that coming down the stretch. Now, a couple other things I want to get into because, again, today's a big award show for us. And we got a lot of big announcements coming down the pike in addition to Seth Greenberg. But yesterday we had Dabo Swinney on the show, and we talked about the ACC title game. Tigers win their sixth consecutive ACC title. They get ready for Ohio State. And after we got done with the program, more polls come out. Again, the only poll that matters is the College Football Playoff Committee poll. We got that on Sunday, the ACC with more teams in the top 25 than anybody else. But there is a thing called the coaches poll. And the coaches, of course, vote 1 through 25 like everybody else that does this, whether it be the AP poll or the coaches poll. And this is what happens when there's not games to talk about yet. Dabo Swinney is one of the guys that votes in the coaches poll. And so all the coaches' polls were released yesterday in terms of how they voted 1 through 25. Now, I do wonder how many of these coaches actually fill this out. So take it for whatever it's worth. So Dabo yesterday on our show kind of laid a little subtle hint about preparing for Ohio State, that the good news is he doesn't only have to look but at six tapes of this year, because that's all the Buckeyes have played. He has certainly spoken out front, and so have other coaches around the country, as far as Ohio State's concerned, that, you know what, if you only play six games, is that really a fair comparison to teams that have been through the full grind of playing 9, 10, 11 games? Well, Dabo's poll comes out, and he's got the Buckeyes number 11. All right, and let me tell you something. People went ballistic with this yesterday. And again, I think it's just nothing more than, hey, we got nothing else better to do, so Dabo's got Ohio State 11, and boy, this is bulletin board material for the Buckeyes. Well, you can see where some of the other ACC coaches place the Buckeyes, and everybody's got them basically third or fourth. Again, I just keep in mind here, I'm assuming that all these coaches actually filled these out. So Dabo putting the Buckeyes at the 11 spot caused all kinds of people to go crazy. Man, how can you more disrespect? This is great fodder for Ohio State. Let me tell you something. If Ohio State needs Dabo Swinney's top 25 poll for motivation, I got news for you. The Buckeyes are in a lot of trouble. I mean, if you need that to be motivated, good luck. I mean, seriously, good luck. I think this is nothing more than people having basically nothing else to talk about. Had Dabo ranked them number one, people would have gone, oh my God, how can Dabo Swinney rank Ohio State number one? They've only played six games. No matter where he ranked them, people were going to go crazy. As a matter of fact, there's another coach in the college football playoff that didn't have the Buckeyes in the top four either. That'd be Nick Saban. He had him fifth. You add it all up, quite frankly, I don't think it means a whole lot. Ohio State better get ready to play. I will just tell you, based on the quote-unquote eye test, after watching the Buckeyes Saturday against Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, if that's what Ohio State's bringing to the table, I think they're in for a long night at the Sugar Bowl. They got to play better than that. They got to get healthy. That's issue number one. So who cares if Dabo's got to rank number one, number 11, or number 123? It simply doesn't matter. You got to go play. You got to go execute. So, you know, if Ryan Day and the Buckeyes are using that as motivation, hey, good for you. Like I said yesterday, I said it on the air here, I said it on SiriusXM. I think Dabo and the Tigers have been living rent-free in the heads of Ohio State since last year. In fact, I think it goes even further back than that. When the Tigers shut out Urban Meyer 31-0, it was Urban's most embarrassing loss ever as a coach. Then what happened last year? I still get phone calls on the afternoon show from Ohio State fans that are still whining about referee calls. I guess people forgot they were up 16-0 and had the lead with 3 minutes to go, had a chance to close. That had nothing to do with refs. You got to go win the game. So Dabo picking Ohio State at 11, hey, whatever. I mean, I think Dabo's just having fun with you, quite frankly. And like I said, if you got to use that as motivation, you might be in bigger trouble than what you anticipate anyhow. So nevertheless, you got all that stuff going on. This is what happens as we wait for the major bowls to go, right? We get the holidays coming up. The College Football Playoff Committee at least has a plan if in case we get COVID positives across the board, which is good to know, at least up front. But this coaches poll stuff, yeah, whatever. I mean, so Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney don't believe the Buckeyes are one of the four best teams. You know what? If Ohio State's good enough, they may have to beat both of them. Doesn't matter what you got in the poll. There's also some other good news. I know we're going to announce a bunch of awards today. And like I said, at 9 a.m. this morning, when we get into the all-ACC team, I assure you, there will be people screaming and going, I cannot believe you left off so-and-so. But I'll tell you one guy that has been fantastic, and there is a bunch of great players in this league. But the Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has had just an incredible year. And yesterday, he was awarded the Butkus Award as the nation's top linebacker. And I know, listen, Saturday was an ugly day for Notre Dame football. Certainly disappointing. The good news is you're in the College Football Playoff. It's been a great year for Notre Dame football. We've talked about all the seniors on this team, great leadership. You had a tough night on Saturday, but I'll tell you what, number six right here will knock you, boom, will knock you into next week. He has terrorized everybody all season long, but he is a great, great football player. and the Butkus Award winner as the nation's top linebacker. And again, you'll tune in today at 9 a.m. to see if he made the All-ACC first team. I like his chances. In fact, I like his chances and a number of Notre Dame players to be on that list. And it will be kind of strange, right? It's been kind of way that way all season long with the ACC, with Notre Dame as a football member this particular year. And you know, we're just coming off the biggest game in the history of ACC football on Saturday. Perhaps the Irish farewell game could very well be. As they possibly go back to Independence, I sense that they will. Again, that'll be their call. But Jeremiah, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Great player, so congratulations to him. I know this much. Notre Dame's defense, as they're probably studying a ton of tape, getting ready for Bama. And if you've seen the Tide this year, offensively sensational, right? They've been fantastic. Najee Harris running the ball, Devontae Smith fantastic, Mac Jones. And speaking of quarterback play, the one thing we would all agree, I mean all agree, when it comes to college football, if you don't have a trigger man, there's a ceiling on your team. There's only so much you can do. And when you're Notre Dame and you take a look at, hey, we know for sure that we're going to play Alabama next in the Rose Bowl in the great state of Texas. And then you've got the potential winner of Ohio State Clemson, which is either Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. Just think about the quarterbacks the Notre Dame defense potentially could see, assuming they can get to the championship game. I mean, Mac Jones has been out of sight. Now, here's some numbers for you. He's 14-1 as a starter, 93% winning percentage. And then you get the combination of Trevor Lawrence against Justin Fields, round two. Trevor, 34-1 in his career. Justin Fields, 19-1 as a starter. I mean, these numbers are scary. So, again, when you get to big boy football, this is what you got to face, man. These are the kind of teams and the kind of players you're going to see. So for Jeremiah and the boys in South Bend on the defensive side, first up is Mac Jones. Second up, best case scenario, is the combination of seeing Trevor Lawrence for the second time this year. And also Justin Fields has been out of sight. So should be out of sight, man. I mean, listen, this is the best part of the year. We get the best teams getting after each other. And again, I'm sure the hurt is ending, hopefully in College Station, as Texas A&M realizes they got to deal with North Carolina and Sam Howell, another great quarterback. But you get to this time of the year, best teams are playing the biggest games. You just can't wait to see how all this stuff's going to play out. But congratulations to Jeremiah. Cool dude. Had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and he's been a great leader. And again, we'll find out more about the All-ACC team coming up here at 9 a.m. I will also tell you, we got basketball to get into. We had a couple games last night, which we'll address in the next segment. But we've got some games going on tonight, which is going to be out of sight. And I know my partner, Wes Durham, as we get him hooked up eventually down there in Cartersville, Georgia, is fired up because he's got NC State and North Carolina tonight. And anytime the Heels and the Wolfpack get together, it's going to be on. You got Pitt and Louisville also taking place. The Syracuse Notre Dame game has gotten postponed. We've got some non-conference games, which we'll get into as well, with the Virginia back in action, taking on William Mary and all that good stuff. And also BC's got Maine. So we will talk some hoops and all that good stuff, but we got a ton of awards to give out. We'll do a case you missed it with Dabo Swinney. And we're also going to have the Jacobs Blocking Trophy winner, which we not only will announce, but that individual will also appear on the show coming up in hour number two, along with Seth Greenberg. So we got a lot of great stuff coming up, man. So it should be a great deal of fun. We'll also take your phone calls while we wait on Wes Durham at 844-SAY-ACCN. So if you want to get into any of the bowl matchups, you want to talk about Dabo having Ohio State 11, which I think is kind of a whatever story, we can get in all that kind of stuff. But coming up, you got Dabo Swinney. And again, if you missed him yesterday, it's great. And we're going to also have the winners of the Jim Tatum, Brian Piccolo, Jacobs Blocking Trophy. That's going to be coming up at 8 a.m. And again, we got Hoops, Seth Greenberg, and all that good stuff. We'll take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. So all that's coming up, Dabo Swinney as well, right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and eventually Durham here on ACC Network. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We hope to have Wes with us at some point in time, but I know this much. We had Dabo Swinney with us yesterday on the show. And in case you missed it, we asked Dabo, you know what? You lose to Notre Dame in November. Tigers in the chase mode. You know what? The boys handled it pretty well.
They did. And you know, and to me, that's what makes college football so much fun is, you know, every game is a playoff game in college football. If you're one of the teams that has a chance to be at that stage, every game is a playoff game. And every game is must win. And, you know, we lost that game in South Bend, and every game has been must win. And isn't that what makes college football great? And so let's just say we had 12 playoff teams. Well, every game's not that, because you're not going to have 12 great teams. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, maybe it could go to six and you could give the top two a bye or something. But I think the urgency that you have to play with in college football, as opposed to what you see in the pro leagues where, you know, once, hey, you already know you're in the playoffs. You already know. And so you rest guys and things like that. And so, and that's fine. I like pro sports, but it's a different dynamic. You don't have as many teams. So I think it's awesome. And then for us, I think we always talk about a windshield mentality. It's what's next. And yes, we've won six in a row. But the reason we've been so consistent and 10 plus win seasons in a row is a windshield mentality. Number one, it's joy in the journey. You know, it's loving what you do, loving who you do it with. And then, you know, I think you got to keep your dreams greater than your memories, you know, and that's what a windshield mentality is always about. You know, it's always about what's next. You accomplish something really, really great in life, or maybe you stunk it up and it was a horrible thing and a bad mistake or a bad decision, or you just had a bad year. Man, get your eyes out of the rearview mirror, man. It's always about what's next, and your dreams have to always be greater than your memories. And if you can take on that mindset, then you can have joy in the journey every year. And that's what we do. I mean, every year is a new journey, and it's a new team. And I love all these teams. Somebody asked me the other day, I was like, man, I mean, that's like asking you which child you love the most. You love them all. So it was an amazing moment. So proud of our guys. Saturday was magical. And I never stood before a more ready team, and I knew that. They were eager. They were excited to go and win the league. It's important to win the ACC to us. It's very important. That's a major goal of ours. And, you know, we got it done. Now we got one more goal, and that's to win the closer. And if that happens, then maybe y'all invite me back on your show. Might be a good year.
Look at that. Look, you know, you were on such a good run until you got to the end there, and you just
I don't usually get an invite unless we like win a championship or something.
Absolutely.
Stop. That is garbage.
I mean, I have to talk to Packer every Thursday, you know, but you know, this is this is like a TV show. I mean,
it is a TV show. Yeah, I know. Yeah, real TV. How about that? What are the characteristics of this team that maybe are a little different from a year ago or 4 years ago when this dominant run into the college football playoff started? What is it about this particular team that now, as you're on the eve of making another run into the deep postseason, strikes you?
Well, they got the same DNA, same Clemson DNA, I mean, as the past teams. I mean, you know, you don't win as many games as we've won if you don't have consistently, you know, you can have a great team here and there, but you don't do what we've done consistently without great leadership. We've had some unbelievable young men come through here. We like to say first-class men, world-class leaders. That's what we've had come through this program, and that's who these guys are. The difference is this team has had challenges. This leadership group has had challenges that no team has ever had. You know, we're climbing a mountain that ain't ever been conquered, ever. Nobody, with uncharted territories of things that we have had to navigate with the leadership of this team. And they've been amazing. I mean, same qualities and characteristics of all these guys that have come before them, because we build leadership. We develop. That's a huge part of our program, is developing leaders, equipping men. And you know, we develop that their whole time. And our seniors are a huge part of that. We have lots of communication. But I think the biggest thing is just the challenges have been different for this group. And from the time we got back in July, there has been just a deep, great appreciation for the opportunity, number one, to be together, and number two, to play the game, to practice. And then just a lot of trust and respect, man. There's had to be a lot of trust because there were so many unknowns. Trust in our process and our medical people, and it's been amazing. Our guys have been absolutely amazing this entire year, the sacrifice, the commitment. But the leaders on this team have done an absolutely wonderful job this entire year.
That leads me to the next game. And I was doing a little homework on you guys, Dabo, and I saw that from 1930.
First time you did homework.
That's
Pat,
exactly.
That's first time you did homework.
No, and listen, you're talking to a Clemson alum, so be careful what you're saying over there, Sweeney, all right? From 1936 to 2014, Clemson won a grand total of five games against AP top five teams. Since 2015 to yesterday, or till Saturday, you've won eight. Which tells me, hey, big picture, we're living in an amazing decade plus of Clemson football. 10 straight years of 10 or more wins speaks volume. Only three teams have ever done it: Bama, Florida State, now Clemson. But it leads me to the Ohio State Buckeyes. You've already had some epic duels with these guys. You beat Urban Meyer twice. Last time you had a chance to see him, you beat him 31-0. The Fiesta Bowl last year was as good a football game as I have ever seen. That Ohio State team last year was really, really fantastic. And you basically spotted them 16, had to play uphill the rest of the night, found a way to win the game. They've circled the calendar, as you well know. You've been living, whether you know it or not, rent-free in Columbus, Ohio for a year because they have said, hey, we want a piece of Clemson from the get-go. And lo and behold, we're going to get it at the Sugar Bowl. Does it help that you've had a chance to see these guys now, again, multiple times, not to mention last year? And I know teams change from year to year, but will that help from at least a presentation and getting doing a little homework about how you're going to attack these guys? Justin Fields, you already have seen this guy before. Does that help in the preparation for coming up in 2 weeks for the Sugar Bowl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think anytime you are playing someone that you have some familiarity with, that's a positive. You know, you can look back at tape where you've matched up, and you know, just like playing an opponent every year, you know, you go back and you look at your last year's game. Now you have different people and things like that, but you can still get a feel, you know. Plus obviously you're going to study their games this year. That'll be a quick study for us. They were only six, so that'll be a little easier. You know, typically you're going into these games, you got, you know, 13 games to study. So it won't be as daunting of a task there. But, yeah, we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us, and we look forward to it.
Wes, hold on a second. I'm not going to let him slide on that one. So you're saying you're telling me it's a lot easier to prep when you only have six game tapes to watch. Is that what you're telling me? Because I heard that. I was listening to what you said.
I mean, from a process standpoint, absolutely, because – you know, like I said, typically you have 13 games. Like, they're going to have to study 11 games. You know, you got to study every play, offense, defense, special teams. Plus, you're studying every play. Plus, you're going back to last year. You know, so it does make it a little easier because there's not as much tape to pour through. You can't make it up. There's only six games. So.
Last thing for me, you know, you're the number two seed. That number two has been a good fit. Tigers are number two seed in 16, number two seed in 18. Turned out to be national championship runs. Is this team peaking at the right time, Dabo? You get a feel for that?
I hope so. You know, because we're going to have to beat some good teams to win this thing. And you know, but I feel good about where we are. This is the healthiest we've been all year. 2020's been crazy for everybody, but one of the silver linings is we've been able to develop a lot of young players, a lot more depth. We've had to start a lot of different guys. Mentally, we're in a good place, and these guys are excited. They're focused. They're locked in and looking forward to this challenge.
Can you believe the nerve of Dabo Sweeney? Are you guys ever going to invite us back? I mean, come on, Dabo. Just pull up a chair. It's like our promo always tells you, just pull up a chair. Now, Dabo's been great with us on radio because he does join us every week. We played here on Packer and Durham on Friday. But anytime Coach wants to come hang, I mean, you know, on the recruiting trail, you know where the basement is. Just come on by. Just bring something for the dogs. You'll be good to go. But great having Coach on. And, again, congratulations to Clemson. Six consecutive ACC championships. 10 straight years of winning at least 10 or more games. I mentioned it yesterday. Only three programs in the history of college football have been able to pull that off. Florida State, the great Bobby Bowden era. Alabama doing it right now with the legendary Nick Saban. And the Clemson Tigers with Dabo Swinney. That's pretty good company. We appreciate Dabo joining us yesterday with some comments regarding the championship and getting ready for the Sugar Bowl. By the way, speaking of getting ready, and I know we'll get my partner on here at some point in time, but we've got something in store for everybody coming up on Friday. Because Friday is Christmas. And a year ago, we had our award-winning 33rd annual Packer and Durham Christmas special. So we've decided to bring it back this year, but in a little different kind of flavor. So I got news for everybody. Coming up Christmas morning, that's Friday, get ready. You can join us for our Packer and Durham holiday hangout. Ho, ho, ho. I'm telling you, it's going to be a party. We look back at an unforgettable year. We're going to look ahead at what we all hope is a much better year. It gets cranked up at 8 a.m. when you're opening up gifts, maybe a beverage or whatever you're doing on Christmas morning. Come join us right here on ACC Network and, of course, the ESPN app. 8 a.m., the Packer and Durham holiday hangout. And, man, we've got some cool stuff lined up for you with all that stuff, all right? So that's coming up on Christmas. All right, we'll continue to work on our partner, Wes Durham. We'll take your phone calls, too, if you're in the mood. 844-SAY-ACCN. We come back about the night on the hardwood. Good news for the ACC and great games coming up tonight, including a couple ACC tilts. We'll get into all that right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network and, of course, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on ACC Network. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app and, of course, SiriusXM 371, 844-SAY-ACCN. The beauty of live television, you just never know. You know, Cartersville, down in the basement, crazy stuff can happen. But I believe we have found my partner, Wes Durham. Good morning. How are you doing?
To quote the great Marshawn Lynch, bruh, been here the whole time.
Take your word for it. All right.
I've been here none of this seven-ish stuff, okay? None of the seven-ish stuff. I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, I will vouch for you on this. So you this know. Wasn't a I slept late and the dog ate my Thank homework you. Or Clifford was running loose in the neighborhood. We had to hunt him down. I can vouch for you that you were here bright and early at 6:30 sharp.
Thank you.
And the technical really geniuses back in Bristol have figured out a way to get us together, which is, again, in this day and age of live television, you never know. But, again, the smart people, I keep saying, the smart people are in Bristol. We're just down here in our respective homes trying to lead
That's
the
right.
parade. But nevertheless, yes, you were here on time. And,
there
again,
you go.
Thanks to the good folks back in Bristol getting us together. Now, we've addressed while you were in fantasy land somewhere down there in Cartersville. We did address that it's a very important show today, giving out tons of awards. We'll start doing that next hour. And then we've got all ACC coming up at 9 a.m. But you've got NC State, North Carolina tonight. And before we get to the games of note, we had three going on last night, non-conference games. The ACC went 3-0 as expected. But, you know, do you gather anything from that, Wes? I mean, we had Clemson a winner, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. And then Noel struggled with Gardner-Webb there for a while till blowing it out in the second half. Hey, it's the holidays. Yep. It's not a conference game. These aren't high-profile games last night. You got to take care of business. But I'm not sure we really learned anything last night from the outcomes.
No, Virginia Tech got Kevi Aluma played well last night. Watched with Jay Alter and Dan Bonner on the coverage. Jalen Cohn was on fire from behind the three-point line. They distanced Longwood late last 10 or 12 minutes. Clemson, I saw yesterday afternoon relatively easy time, I thought, with Morehead State, double-double from Amir Sims. Florida State has really struggled to shoot the ball, especially from the perimeter the last two ball games. It cost them on Saturday night against UCF. They were able to kind of wiggle off and distance a little bit from Gardner Webb late in the ball game yesterday. Typically, I would say here's the thing, Pack. Typically, I would say these guys are anxious to get home for a few days. However, I'm not sure what the plans are for these schools. I can't imagine that anybody's going home for a few days, and so therefore, I'm not quite sure how all this is going to play out. But we'll see. I mean, this is most teams. You've got the two league games tonight, and then there's a bit of a break until next Wednesday. It seems like you don't have any games over the weekend. You have maybe some stuff starting up next Tuesday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday next week are going to be heavy conference game nights in between Christmas and New Year's. But I hate to say that basketball is kind of wearing down a little bit, but it may be wearing down in the typical holiday break style that we see before teams come back and get ready for conference play.
Well, just a couple notes from last night. You mentioned Florida State. They struggled in the loss over the weekend shooting the basketball. Last night, 34% from the field, 18% from three. That's got to get better, even though 11 players scored, which is typical Leonard Hamilton basketball. But, you know, maybe just, like you said, maybe just a break and understanding, all right, conference play, time to focus, that'll help. And you mentioned Virginia Tech with the win, and not that it was a surprise. They were supposed to beat Longwood, and they did easily. But Jalen Cohn has now gone back-to-back games, scoring 18. And that's a guy and a name that wasn't rolling off the tongue before the season started. And the Hokies continue to impress. Really, other than the egg that they laid against Penn State, they've been really, really good. You mentioned Sims at Clemson. You expect that with that leadership. And Nick Honor chipped in with 14 last night. So I'm not sure we learned a whole lot from those three games. The good news was you were supposed to win them, and you did, and you move on. And it leads into some other basketball notes. And before we get into the games tonight, we made history last week with no ACC team in the top 10 of the AP poll, snapping a streak of 461 consecutive polls, right? Going back to, March of 96. I'm crazy. It was just one of those stats you just shake your head. Well, we got another one yesterday. And that is the AP poll comes out, and there's not a single ACC men's basketball team ranked in the top 15. And the last time that happened was December of 1961. And I'm not stuttering. You heard me right.
Billy.
Billy Packer era. 1961. The last time the ACC men's basketball team was nowhere to be found in the AP top 15. Is that crazy? That's an amazing number.
Yeah, it is. It's an incredible number. And when I saw the note yesterday, I was like, wow, wait a second. I mean, so again, this will be a season unlike any other for college basketball, just as football has been. So don't be surprised if there's a long run here to get some teams in contention. It's been a wild and bumpy ride for hoops so far. The news from yesterday is also bumpy. Syracuse played Buffalo Saturday night, overtime game, right here on ACC Network. Yesterday, Buffalo paused all activities because of a positive test that was registered from their post-game testing cycle. Well, that positive test now has caused a pause for Syracuse. No word from the Orange yet on positive test on their end. They're doing it out of the, quote, abundance of caution, which is the right thing to do. And Syracuse has now paused. So their game tonight with Notre Dame is on the shelf. Jeff Capel, who we told you about yesterday, tested positive for the virus over the weekend. Well, guess what? Jeff Capel will not coach Pittsburgh tonight as they host Louisville. Tim O'Toole, the associate head coach with Milam Brown and Jason Capel, Jeff's brother, will handle the coaching duties collaboratively tonight as Louisville visits in a ball game on the ACC calendar. I tell you all that to say, this is kind of what this is going to be, I think, Pac. I mean, you're going to have games that, there's reports tonight that NC State will be down some guys. They were down some guys the other day against Campbell, maybe down some guys tonight against North Carolina. I mean, this is just kind of, I think, what this is going to be for a while, to be honest with you.
Wes, seriously, we're sitting here 3 days before Christmas. Let me just make sure I get the scoreboard right.
Yep.
We don't have any ACC men's basketball teams in the top 15 for the first time since December of 61. We have two ACC football teams in the college football playoff. We have three ACC football teams in the top 15. We got North Carolina going to their first major bowl game since 1950. Now, you don't tell me 2020's messed up. I mean, 2020's crazy, right? But if I would have said to you a year ago, hey, Wes, I got news for you. I'm going to crystal ball 2020, and I'm going to make a prediction here before Christmas that the Atlantic Coast Conference in football is going to have more teams in the college football playoff top 25 than anybody. We're going to have 50% of the college football playoff field. And ACC men's basketball, we can't find anybody in the top 15. You just said, man, Pack, did you fall down a flight? Did you fall down and hit your head again? Seriously, I mean, that is exactly what we have 3 days before Christmas. And that's the world that we've got right now in ACC sports. How crazy is that?
It's real crazy. And the thing is, Pack, I'm not sure how the schedule is going to reward teams that do have good years just yet. Does that make sense? I mean, we don't know how the games are going to fall here in order for teams to climb up in the polls, right? I mean, and by the way, having a team outside the top 15 also means that when conference play begins, you know, like say Duke beats Carolina, Carolina beats Duke, whatever the case may be, Virginia Tech beats Duke. Well, you're not getting a win against a top five team now. You're getting a win against a team that's 15 to 25.
Right.
And because of that, you're not going to be as accelerated to get to the top 10 by the end of the regular season. I hope I'm making that clear. I kind of want people to understand that when you're outside the top 15 before conference play begins in earnest, it creates that other roadblock or hurdle, if you will, to get a team into contention to maybe, by say, March, have a team that's 6th or 10th or 9th or 4th or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, unless you go on like a Virginia run or a Florida State run that we've seen the last couple of years, it'll be hard for anybody, I think, to get in the top 10 at this rate. Granted, other leagues are going to play and knock each other off and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we're so accustomed and we've gotten spoiled, quite frankly, in the ACC of always having a handful of teams in the top 10 that you just assume, well, that's just kind of like your birthright. Well, no, you got to go earn it. And right now the ACC has got a number of teams 15 to 25, and you're going to kind of wonder, hey, who emerges? Now, we thought a week ago that Florida State was the safest bet until they kind of laid an egg over the weekend and lost to UCF. And again, struggled a little bit, like you said, shooting the basketball last night, only 34% from the field. So it'll be an intriguing ride, this conference. So number one, to get the games in and find out who can just kind of navigate themselves and start getting on some momentum. And the game you've got tonight, I think, is a starting point really for both these teams in terms of North Carolina and NC State, because anytime they get together, it is a big deal. And the Wolfpack, you mentioned, could be a couple guys down. And here's Roy Williams. And boy, don't you know, Roy loves to see the red and white of NC State. He's only 32-4 against them since he's taken over as the head coach in Chapel Hill. But this game tonight that you and Jordan Cornette are going to do, it's going to have some juice, and it will also give you a little bit of a feel for what we're going to get with out of both of these teams right now.
Yeah, and you know the other thing it will have tonight? No fans at PNC Arena.
Crazy.
Here goes State and Carolina. In fact, Coach Williams was asked about this yesterday during his media availability. I think our buddy Joe Giglio asked him about, are you at least a little disappointed there's not going to be anybody over there? Because, you know, Reynolds Coliseum back in the day when he was an assistant with Coach Smith, and since he's come back as the head guy in Chapel Hill, I mean, State Carolina, for folks beyond the, you know, the walls of the old North State, if you will, State Carolina has as much juice as Duke Carolina, just in a different way.
Yeah.
And for that matter, State and Duke has juice to it. But the idea of State Carolina and no fans, that is a very foreign concept to people in the Triangle of North Carolina and really to the fan bases of both schools.
Yeah, but I know this much. When you've got light blue on and you see red, and vice versa.
That's it.
Those two will get after each other tonight. So I'm intrigued to watch you guys, and should be a blast. We've also got Louisville and Pitt, and you know, doing some homework on this game. You mentioned the whole situation with Coach Capel. We wish him a speedy recovery and so forth. But Louisville's really had their number. They've beaten Pitt 15 of the last 16 times they've seen them. And Louisville coming off a game that, which we discussed a little bit yesterday, they were certainly down in terms of numbers and got waxed at Wisconsin. So, Karlik's supposed to be back tonight, which is good news. He did not play against Wisconsin, so that's certainly good news for Louisville from that perspective. But I need to see the bounce back for the Cards. Now, granted, they got Kentucky come up this weekend, which is a big deal, obviously. But as I mentioned, Louisville's won 15 in the last 16. Plus, Louisville has now won 11 consecutive games the game before Christmas. So if you ever get the Cardinals scheduled and you play them before Christmas, that's normally a problem. So the Cards have been pretty good right before the holidays. So we'll see what happens tonight. And Pitt's on a run here. They've won five straight and playing much better. So I think it'll be a good ball game.
All right. That's a quick look at basketball. Don't forget, we've got a game for you here tonight. We'll tell you about it in just a moment. But also, here are the players of the week, by the way, on both the men's and women's side, and also freshman of the week. On the men's side, not real hard. Quincy Gurrier of Syracuse has been a monster. Guy is top five in scoring, top five in rebounding, and leads the ACC in field goal percentage. DJ Stewart of Duke is the freshman of the week. And on the ladies' side, Janelle Bailey of North Carolina has come back from injury and off to a great start for Courtney Banghart. Gabby Elliott of Clemson is the freshman of the week. And don't forget, Carolina and NC State, by the way, is a 7 o'clock game. That game got moved down from its original 9 o'clock start because of the postponement of Notre Dame and Syracuse. So Jordan Cornette will join me tonight. We'll see you at 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. When we come back, is this our final accounting pack?
It is.
Is this the last time we're going to do this?
Till basketball season next.
Okay.
We got to do basketball.
Because I polished
harder.
No, we're not doing basketball this year.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We did basketball last year. We're not doing it this year.
Oh, yes, we are. Oh, yeah, we are.
All right. Are we doing that next week or next week? Week after?
Yeah, next week. Let's do it next week.
All right. When we come back, final football accounting, and I've done some polishing. I've heard from you, the fan, in the last week, especially you from the Georgia Institute of Technology. I've heard from you people. Okay, I took care of my people, Georgia Tech. Y'all were nice enough to put me in the Hall of Fame a couple years ago. Back after this.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Together again. Show 284. 844, say ACCN, the number. All right, our final accounting in football for 2020, West Durham. And you were talking about Georgia Tech and making up to them. So I want to hear the story with this, so you get to go first.
Well, okay. Very quickly, I really only did two things. Much like Eric McLean, I flipped Clemson to the top, put Notre Dame second. Everything else virtually is the same. However, last week in my accounting, I had Louisville 11, Georgia Tech 12. And you would have thought I had stolen something from the Georgia Institute of Technology, Pack. I heard from, 50 or 60 people who told me that in various forms on social media to do things that might be just almost impossible. So Georgia Tech, yes, you did beat Louisville. You did beat Florida State. I will put you at 11. Louisville has gone to 12. So there you go. That's the only polish I did in this final edition of accounting. So there you go.
I will tell you, the 50 people that contacted you with their lively commentary were correct. Georgia Tech should have been in front of Louisville. I mean, there is a thing called scoreboard, and I know you're in their Hall of Fame. So, I mean, they were.
I understand.
I didn't even read any of them, but I would tell you.
I appreciate you being 51.
All right. Well, they were all right. They were 100% right. So I'm glad you listened. That's a good thing, Durham. You're getting it.
Well,
I know it's yeah. week 17 of the college football season, but you got it. You got it right. All right. I'm going to give you a sweet 16 in my final one.
Week 17 feels like week 67 of the college football season.
Whatever. But I'm glad you know those folks set you straight, those Georgia Tech fans. They were 100% right. All right, here's mine.
They
Nothing
did.
Changed a whole lot, but at the very top where it matters the most, Clemson's number one, Notre Dame's number two. Everything stays the same. Heels three, Miami four, State five. I told you six through ten is all based on head-to-head. The Swiss State six. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. But 16, the Sweet 16, is the University of South Carolina. You are 2-8, and you're going to a bowl game? You know what? That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. You are 2-8 and going to a bowl. And until Army, who, by the way, was 9-2 with no bowl home until yesterday, until COVID hit the Tennessee football program, the 3-7 Volunteers were bowling. Goodness gracious. They went 70 days without winning a game until they finally found Vanderbilt on the schedule. Thank God. So Tennessee's not going to a bowl. That opens up a spot, so thank goodness Army, who at 9-2 had nowhere to go, they are going to the Liberty Bowl. Thank goodness. But before that happened, Wes, I had a theory on what should happen to get Army into a bowl. And I was going to say South Carolina is so bad, they only had, 46 guys for their last game. I thought that maybe South Carolina and UAB should combine as one team to open up a spot to take on 9-2 Army. That's how bad the Gamecocks are. So they're in a bowl. They're 2-8. And guess what? You are number 16, the Sweet 16, in the final ACC accounting. So there it is. That is it.
You've just been coming with cannon fire the last couple of days. What was the stat you used yesterday against Auburn?
Against Auburn. Oh, no. Against A&M. I said that A&M had more wins against
A&M,
fired
coaches.
Texas A&M had more wins against fired coaches than they had wins against teams over 500. And Jimbo's down there talking about, we play an SEC schedule. Yeah, good luck with that. Bunch of 2-3 and 4-win teams. What you got? That's and hey, stop me if I'm wrong. If I said something that's wrong, I will apologize. But 2-8 in a bowl game is laughable. Yeah. It's an embarrassment to the bowl system. That's what we got.
Well, there you have it. That's what we got. Nicely done, by the way. The 16, can I say that when you started the Sweet 16, it became a real staple of the program, by the way.
It's going to stay that way. Job. We may do that for hoops, too, by the way.
Oh.
Sweet 16. Start next week.
Oh, no. All right. Great. Basketball accounting and Sweet 16. Whew. Okay. Hour two of Packer and Durham. I'm back, by the way. Thank you for your concern and your thoughtful notes. Awards time, ACC football style. It's coming up next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.